As you sit down, can you shake your neighbor's hand and say, what a beautiful name, what a powerful name is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Many times people take the name of Jesus in vain, in a derogatory way, but I'm telling you, the name of Jesus is both beautiful and powerful. And that is what we are going to look today as we look into God's Word. As we sit in the presence of God this morning, my request for you is that you please pay attention to God speaking to your heart. When God starts speaking, don't look anywhere else. Don't get distracted. Don't think about anything else, because God is speaking to you something powerful. This morning I want to speak of the power of a supernatural healing miracle that happened in the church of Jerusalem. The power of a supernatural healing miracle. Many times, I don't know how you look at miracles. Many have said that the days of miracles are over. It finished off with the first century. Many times we don't have the faith to believe that Jesus still does miracles. There is a story of an Eastern king that will give an illustration about how we view miracles. This king was seated in his garden, and one of his counselors was speaking to him about the wonderful works of God. The king said, show me a sign and then I will believe. The counselor told the king, here are four acorns. Will you, Majesty, plant them in the ground and then stoop down for a moment and look at this clear pool of water next to that? The king did so. Now the counselor said, look up. The king looked up, and lo and behold, there were four oak trees where he had planted the acorns. They are all grown up, so tall and so huge. He exclaimed, wonderful! This is indeed the work of God. The counselor asked him, do you know how long you were looking at the water? The king said, I thought I looked only for a second. The counselor said, 80 years have passed the moment you started looking at the water. And at that time the king looked at his garments. They were all threadbare. He looked at his reflection in the water, and he has become an old man right now. The king was very angry. He said, this is no miracle. I thought it was a miracle, but it is not a miracle. And the counselor told him, yes, this is the work of God. Whether he did it in 1 second or he did it in 80 years. When you look at the wonderful things of God on this universe, sometimes I am amazed that we are not opening our mouths and thinking about the miracles of God that is happening every moment in our lives. The fact that the solar system is moving without any of the planets hitting each other is a miracle. The fact of, if you have seen a baby born from a mother's womb, you can never ever doubt the existence of God. Because the moment a baby is born and cut off from the mother, the cord is cut and you see the life in the baby that was taken care in the womb so beautifully. Every cell, every fiber, every DNA, every nerve so taken so beautifully. How can you not see the miracles of God? When you look outside and see how our earth is sitting today, a little up and down, we would have been died, because it would have been in a climate that is not, we cannot live a little bit. If the earth was a little bit tilted or little bit away or closer to the sun, we could not have been alive. This is a miracle. You know, many times we take everything for granted. And even the church is today, you know, just like an ordinary other society or institution. The world is not impressed with the fact that we are just like them. They are not impressed. We are same. We try to merge in. We try to play along. We try to bring the works of God into the calculations of a man. And it is really something that does not make us stand out. The world is looking to see the church perform what Jesus intended for us to do. And when we think about what is happening today, we know how far we are away from the place that God has ordained for us. There is another story of a man who was trying to think about why the churches are not awakened spiritually. He wanted to do a research. So first he went to a church where the people, they came expecting something. All the people came expecting something. Very soon he found out that what they came expecting was to get out at noon, no matter what. They came expecting that. And they were very upset when the services were not finished by the noon time. Then he went to another church where the people were very perspective. They were actually so perspective that when the sermon was going on, they were counting the number of tiles on the ceiling, and they were very perspective of things that are around them, not knowing the work that God can do in the church. And then the man said, I will go to another church. And he tried a third church. They were all kind of dozing off at the wrong times because they were all sleepy. They were all tired when they had come to the church. He found that they were like on the second or third stage of anesthesia. They were sleeping and dozing off. It was not in agreement with the sermon, but they were so tired that their heads were bobbing up and down. Finally, he said, I'm going to try one last church. He went to a fourth church. He said, there must be some expectations. Here, the people were appearing to take notes of the sermon. Everyone was very busy writing notes. But after the church was cleaned up, after everybody went, there was a couple of notes that were lying down there on the table in the side. Somebody forgot to take it with them. One of them was a shopping list that was being prepared of where they will go shopping very soon. Then there was another note they found about the playlist for the World Cup soccer. Who is going to be playing next in the quarterfinals while the sermon was going on? Our church is not like that. Amen? I'm sure none of these, we don't fit. They come here, they will see you eager. This is not the kind of church that Jesus gave his life for, brothers and sisters. The church that Jesus gave his life for is a people who is eager to do what he wants to do. And he has given us a blueprint of the church that he wants in this world. It was a church that started 2000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. So for that, when we go back to the book of Acts and we see how the church was formed and what they did, we understand where we need to do and what we need to do to practice the work through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today we are going to come to Acts chapter number 3. I know that I have been going through 1-1 chapters last time. You know, the saints have been witnessing. Like Jesus said, you shall be my witness. The saints have been witnessing from the time that Jesus gave them the commandment in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. In Acts chapter 1, they were witnessing through their prayer. They were praying and they were witnessing before other people. In Acts chapter 2, they witnessed through preaching. Peter with 11 apostles, they stood up, they preached and they witnessed about Jesus Christ. But when we come to Acts chapter 3, they would be witnessing through a powerful supernatural healing miracle that is going to happen. You see, it is one thing to be filled by the Holy Spirit. It is another thing to heal through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now there is something interesting that I want to share with you. In the Gospel of Luke, the first miracle that Jesus did was raising Peter's mother-in-law who was sick with fever. That was the first miracle mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. In Acts, the first miracle that is mentioned is Peter lifting up a man who is lame from his birth. It is not an accident that Peter was involved in both the miracles, because we see something extraordinary happening to this man who was lame. So, for a few minutes, we are going to look at this narrative in Acts chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you can open, or you can follow along as it is being told. And we are going to look at how this miracle happened. And I want to explain to you the power of a supernatural miracle. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 3. We will read the first 11 verses. Now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man who was lame from the mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and the ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man was healed, held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your word this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our inner eyes to help us understand the great power that we possess that we are not using, Lord. The power through the name of Jesus Christ. The powerful name of Jesus. The beautiful name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, help us to realize what we have and what we can do to bring many people to deliverance. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to mention three things that we can note from this narrative. Number one, I will tell you there is a tragedy in our lives. Look at this narrative is starting. It begins with a couple of disciples of Jesus who were praying. Prarthikina Sishyanmar. It says in verse number 1, Acts 3 verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. You know, Peter and John, I want to pause here for a moment. Think about these two people. Every time in the Gospels, we used to see Peter and Andrew, James and John. We never saw Peter and John only together. But if you think about Peter and John, there cannot be two people who are so opposite to one another. But the day of Pentecost has brought them closer together, that they are able to go up together to pray in the temple. By every nature and temperament, they were different. Peter was a doer, John was a dreamer. Peter was a motivator, while John was kind of like a mystic. Peter had his feet on the rock, while John was heading to the clouds. They were opposite people in every nature. But now they are walking together because the Lord has joined them together. They had friendship before, but now they have fellowship together. There is a harmony of both the soul and the spirit, and they are linked up together to go up and pray. And through the unity, they are finding strength and stability and success in what they are doing. Where are they going? They are going to the temple. It's a time of prayer. They are going together for a prayer meeting. They knew that other disciples would also be there, because it was the ninth hour, the 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when they are gathering together to pray. So as they were engrossed in the matter at hand, they're going to pray to the Lord. We see something like a paralyzing defect. They see somebody on the way up the temple. When we come to verse number 2, it says that there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb. He did not get lame because of an accident. He was born lame. He had nothing to do with his lameness. When the time he was born, his feet was deformed. As a child, he could not run around. He could not roam. As a man, he could not work and run because he could not use his feet. His entire life, he lived in deformity. It was a tragic life. You know, we all have all our faculties together. I will tell you, if you lose one of your faculty, you will know how crucial it is. Because every part of our body has been created. If we lose something, we are an invalid. We are not able to function well. But this man was born with lameness, a malformity. And as we see, not only that he was not able to do everything, he also was dependent on somebody else to help him out. There is a pathetic dependence on this man. You see, in verse number 2, he was carried. When he came to the temple, somebody had to carry him, and they had to lay him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, because all he did was to ask for alms. He was a beggar. He could not do any work of his own, so he had to depend on other people's money. Every time, every day, he would come and be seated at the gate, and all that he would do is asking for alms. Please give me something. Please give me something. I cannot work, so I cannot earn anything. But this was a perfect place that he chose for begging. You know, sometimes some people, you know, catch you at the time when you are so much wanting to do something for God, and they catch you at the right minute. This man was perfectly placed in a place where people will automatically start giving him some money. Because he was at the steps that was leading to what they call as the Nicanor gate, that was passing from the court of the Gentiles to the court of the woman. There was a barrier that was erected called the middle wall of partition. And there was an announcement in Latin and Greek that Gentiles cannot go further beyond that gate. There were 9 gates, and one of the gates was called Beautiful. This gate was made of bronze. It had rich ornamentation, and it was set on plates of gold and silver. This man, as he sat at the gates, he could also see the temple, and the beautiful temple that Herod had turned it to be one of the wonders of the world. But as he sat there, there were people going up to the temple, obviously to pray. They're going to sacrifice. They're going to meet with God. And before they come, this man is asking for alms. And so it was a place of bounty, because this beggar's eyes were fixed on everyone who would enter into the temple. The people's thoughts were upon God and liberally to give. And in the Jewish customs, giving alms is a good thing. But sometimes the Pharisees showed others when they were giving. You know, they will make a sound, or they will, to be seen by men, they would give alms. It was supposed to be something good. And this beggar was there at the right moment so that he can get hold of everybody who is going into the temple. Now, we look at the desire of this man who was seated there. His expectation was very low. All he wanted was some money that people would give him when they come up the temple. So when we come to verse number 3, it says that then he saw Peter and John about to go to the temple and he asked for alms. You see, the fact that he was lame from birth tells me that he has been begging for a long time. Maybe when he was young, his parents must have started leaving him. By the time he is now an expert in asking for alms. And Peter and John are walking down. Don't know if this man even knew that this was Peter whose preaching brought thousands of people to the church. I don't know if he knew that. But his life, this man had nothing else to look forward to. All he wanted was some money to eat food for that day. So he had a hand that was outstretched and he was a plea in his voice, please give me something. You see, this is a tragedy. Many times we are so involved in our things, we don't know that something great can happen in our life. Our expectations are so low. We set the bar so low. We think that God is just like us. And all we desire is for some small things, some minor things. You know, the word of God says that you need to ask by faith. Ask it for bigger things because God can do greater things than what you desire, even think in your hearts. So next we come to see, as he is begging for money, there is a transformation in his deformity. Let's come to verse number 4. He says, and fixing his eyes on him with John, when he asked for the alms, Peter said, look at us. This is where the difference comes between a worldly person and a child of God who is filled by the Holy Spirit. We are ready to say, look at me. Look at my life. I'm not like a worldly person. I got something bigger and better than what you need in your life. Now, outwardly, these were fishermen. Both Peter and John were fishermen. But the difference that happened was that now they were full of the Holy Spirit. And so, we see that Peter is telling to look and expect something greater. What he is trying to redirect is, look at us and expect something bigger from God. Today, let me tell you that I don't know what your expectation is from God, but don't settle on smaller things. Go for big, because God can do something amazing for you. And let me ask you a question. When you go to somebody, can you tell them, look at me, look at us, see the changes that God has brought in my life? The same God can change your life also. Can we say that? So as they link up Peter and John, now they are going to light up this man's life. And so let's come to the next part where you see the emotions of this man. It says this man gave them his attention. So when I'm telling you that when the word of God is going, focus on that word. Turn your attention. Don't be thinking about other things, because something can happen if you give your attention and you're able to understand what God is speaking to you. In verse number 5, we read that, so he gave them his attention. This beggar totally was attentive to what Peter was about to tell. Many times we miss the healing because we are not attentive, we are not focused when God speaks to us. Let me tell you that God wants us to focus our attention upon Jesus. Yesterday, for those who came for the fasting prayer, we were saying to focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we need to put our attention upon him, because he's the one who can bring a change in your life. No matter anything else you do, it cannot happen unless you put your attention on the Lord Jesus. And so he was willing to put his attention. And then we see the expectation. What was this man expecting? Even though he was putting his attention on Peter and John, Look at the expectation. Many times our expectation is for something low. This man expected that he will get some money from Peter and John. His expectation was something physical, but God wanted to give him something much greater. Many times I'm telling you, when you come to church for a worship service, what do you expect? Do you have any expectation? Because if you are expecting nothing, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. You will get nothing and go back. If you expect something bigger, God is going to touch you and do something. We have to raise our expectation to the level that God wants to bless us. That is one of the things I want to tell all of us. Let us start expecting more from God. Let us start expecting God to do something amazing in our life. Because when we expect greater things, God can do something greater for us. Then we see Peter speaking out. He's opening up himself and says like this in verse number 6. Peter saying, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I am giving you." I don't have silver and gold, which is what he was asking for, the money. But I have something that I want to give you. And then he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You see, when this man started hearing, "I don't have any silver and gold," he must have kind of thought, "Man, I'm not going to get anything now. Look at this." Because Peter was not a moneyed person. He left his fishing business. He does not have money. But he had something to give to that lame man. He said, "What I have, I give you." What did Peter have? I want you to think about the Holy Spirit. As I was pondering over this, the Holy Spirit took my thoughts to the Great Commission that Jesus spoke. We are not going to read that verse, but you can note it down. It is in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. Part of the Great Commission that Jesus gave his followers is, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Let me read again. "In my name," in the Namathil, "when they lay hands on the sick, they will recover." This is a part of the signs that follow when we believe in Jesus. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Peter said, "I have something to give you." The lame man, actually, more than money, he needed a miracle. More than silver, he needed a savior. More than gold, he needed a God who loves him so much. He needed a deliverance in his life. He needed the power of God to operate. Now, two things I can tell you. One is, Peter was transparent. He said, "I don't have silver and gold, but then I want to give you something." There is a transference of the power of God. Devatinde Shakti. He is transferring it to the man. "I want to give you something that I have." What is it? He said, "In the name of Jesus." We were singing about what a powerful name, what a beautiful name. Have you realized the power of the name of Jesus? Have you ever thought about how powerful is the name of Jesus? His name is able to break every barrier, every sickness, every bondage in the name of Jesus. And we have access to that name of Jesus. And Peter, all he says is, he does not stand there and pray, "God, Heavenly Father, I pray for..." He does not make any prayer. You see, there is no prayer in that gate there. All he says is, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." He's declaring the power of God is so evident. The authority of Jesus is so evident. He's declaring in the name of Jesus. And what happens? He's pronouncing and the healing upon that man and releasing that healing in the power of Jesus. One of the problems that we have had can be told in a story between Pope the Innocents and Thomas Aquinas. The Pope said, "Thomas, the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none,' because the church has become very rich now." Aquinas said, "That is true, Your Holiness. Neither can you say, arise and walk, because we have lost the power. You know, we have switched what we have to what those days the people did not have. They did not have silver and gold, but they had the authority and the power in the name of Jesus. And now comes the finale. Look at verse number 7. Peter took this man by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately says, the moment he lifted him, he was a lame man. He was crippled from birth. There was no change. But he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones, they received strength. You know, who gave the strength? God gave the strength. By faith, when Peter lifted, the strength came into that man's feet and ankles. It said the power was from God, not from Peter. This was how Jesus, you remember, he took Jairus' daughter by the hand and he raised her from the dead. The power of God, what Jesus did, now Peter is doing in this time. And look at what happened. There is an immediate healing. It says immediately his feet and ankle bones, they received strength. It was not a gradual miracle. It was an instantaneous miracle. And it lasted. Do you know that Isaiah many years ago prophesied this about the messianic age like this? Then will the lame leap like a deer. There is a time coming when the lame will leap like a deer. And this has exactly happened. You know, our churches these days, we need to get our legs back. We need to show how different we are and the power of Jesus that is there with us. We cannot look at spiritual things in the natural. We have to totally trust and believe in the power of Jesus. Finally, what happened? We see the result of this miracle. You know, verse number 8, you see this man's response. The moment his ankles received strength, verse number 8 says, he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You see that? He went with them, along with the disciples. Where did he go? He went into the temple. He could never go into the temple before. Now he's entering with the disciples. Look at the energy. He's leaping. He has been healed. Till now he has never walked one foot, but now he's leaping and praising God. See, not he's giving glory to God. He says he was praising God. Why should you praise God? Because God has done something special for you. You know, when you are healed like that, would you not shout and dance and and praise God and glorify Him? We need to do that. Has God done something in your life? Express it. Give Him the glory. Once this man started doing this, we see finally verse number 9. What happened? The multitude, the people realized what has happened. See, in verse number 9, it says all the people saw him walking and praising God. And that created a stir. And they were amazed. Not only they saw that, the multitude was amazed. Look at verse number 10. They knew that this man was sitting and begging alms. Now they were filled with wonder and amazement of what happened. You see, the people outside realized something miraculous has happened to this man. Because he was running around leaping. Not only normally he was walking, leaping and praising God. And they saw, they were filled with amazement. And you see, they were all paying attention. Verse number 11 says, you know, they ran together to see the miracle and they were greatly amazed. You know, this miracle resulted in so many people coming to the Lord. I'm telling you that this is something that happens when God does something extraordinary. I'm praying for a big miracle in our church. This is my prayer. I'll be honest with you. You know, we have been so used to our ordinary ways. You know, just the routine and the status quo. I am praying that God will be able to do something. For that to happen, we have to come together to pray, brothers and sisters. Some people have left all the prayer to the pastor and auntie, pastor, please pray. Okay, that is your role. You do that. Okay, let's. I don't maybe have time to pray, but you. God has put you there. No, we all have to come together and pray and receive the healing from God. We have to see a transformation because the healing should result in people outside getting amazed. You see, in Acts chapter 2, people outside, they were amazed when they spoke in their own tongues and they heard them praising God. In Acts chapter 3, they were amazed when they saw this great miracle that God has done. And God brought a healing in their life. So I'm telling you that we need the power of a supernatural healing miracle. You know, I'm praying that God will bring some healing miracles in our church. Every eyes closed. Can you just close your eyes for a moment? We need to link up together first of all. You know, we cannot be disjointed people. We have to link up together. Like Peter and John linked up together. You know, Calvary brought them together. The Pentecost brought them together. Next, we have to look up because our help comes from the Lord. And God has to do something amazing among us. And then you have to act in faith. You have to listen to what God is speaking to your heart. And then you have to direct that energy to people who need deliverance. If you look outside, there are people who need deliverance around us. We are the answer to their prayer. God has put us here in Charlotte, in this location. God has brought each one of you to be an answer for their deliverance. Do you believe that? God has raised you up from the infirmity to bring you and give you the power that tomorrow you can be the hands of Jesus. You can be the mouthpiece of Jesus. You can, in the name of Jesus, because it is not only for a few. This is, if we believe, the signs will follow them that believe. Can you trust in that? We need to take people at the word. We trust in the word and we say, in the name of Jesus, I am declaring healing upon you. And we have to see people coming to the Lord. That is how many people come to the Lord. You know, in the time of Jesus, people followed when they saw healing miracles. They saw bread being multiplied. They saw a dead man being raised. That's how people came. Today, that is how people need to see that we are different and we have the authority and the power of God. Will you be an instrument for that? Will you be able to do something and say, Lord, I want to do something great. But then in the end of the day, I'm telling you, give glory to God. Give glory to God. Every eyes closed. Hallelujah. I would like the worship team to come forward. You know, I want to tell you that God wants to do miracles in our life. Today also the Lord wants to do a miracle. I don't know what kind of miracle you are expecting. What kind of expectation do you have? Do you just expect the natural? No. We need to expect the miraculous. God will do something miraculous among us. But then when it happens, give Him the glory. Because He deserves the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every eye is closed. Hallelujah. Can we all just stand up on our feet right now? Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands and say, Lord, do a wonderful miracle, a healing miracle. Let the power of God start operating through my life. Let the words that I speak and I speak and declare on people around me in the name of Jesus that they will rise up from their infirmity, Lord. And they will be healed today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, when they get healed, Father, we will give you the glory. We want to give you the glory. Can we do that? Can we just lift up our hands? Everyone, lift up your hands and say, Lord, you deserve the glory. We are going to be used as instruments in your hands. Lord, make us an instrument of your glory. Lord, let us be a hands, your hands, your feet. Lord, your voice to speak to people who are in captivity, in sickness, in so many attacks of the enemy. Lord, we want to, with the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We want to, Lord, cast out demons. Lord, we want to see sick people healed. We want to see restorations these days. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you lift me up. Bring me to that point where I can be full of faith. Like the Peter and John who said, in the name of Jesus, silver and gold I don't have, but I do have something. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. The man not really walked, he was leaping up and down. He was praising God. He went into the temple. Lot of people came to faith on that because of that healing miracle. Why is not the healing miracles happening? Because we have not taken the name of Jesus seriously. We don't have the ability to operate by faith and say, Lord, this is the power that you've given me. I'm going to believe and I'm going to operate in that.